direct from Sparks, Nevada. It's blindbargains.com coverage of ACB 2017. Brought to you by Hims.
BrailleSense Polaris is shipping. The future is now. Check out the first Google-certified future-proof note-taker with no touchscreen required. For more information, visit www.hims-inc.com.
Now, here's Joe Steinkamp.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Dave Wilkinson and I have known each other a really long time, and we have several in-jokes that we kind of tell each other over the years through various presentations. One of those in-jokes happens to be that I bring him a cup of coffee right before he does one of these massive presentations. Even before I started recording them, I would actually bring him a giant cup of coffee. A friend of mine who used to be in the business, I used to bring him Dr. Peppers. Well, I carried that over to Dave and coffee. So just remember that Dave is hopped up on caffeine when you go to hear this wonderful presentation about the Polaris. If you didn't hear our conversation that we had back in March during the initial announcement of the Polaris, well, you can hold back just a little bit and come back to it later, because this is now a presentation on the launch of the Polaris. That's right, Polaris is now shipping, and you can learn a little bit more about the shipping version of Polaris in this wonderful presentation. And of course, if you want to know more, you can always head over to hims-inc.com to learn so much more. And we'd also like to thank the company for providing sponsorship of the Summer Convention Series here on Blind Bargains Cast. And now, from Sparks, Nevada, on the second floor of the Nugget Hotel Casino, Dave Wilkinson.
Almost live. It's blindbargains.com special coverage.
Good afternoon, and thank you guys for coming. Good. And what are we here for?
Polaris!
That's right. Let's do all of that again. Let's get ready to rumble. So, let's get ready to Polaris! So we're going to pass a BrailleSense Polaris around. Do you guys want to say who's here, or do you guys care who else is here? Yes, no?
Yes, no.
Yes, no?
Just kick it off, Dave.
Okay, we'll just, okay. Okay, very good. Well, at the end, we'll all go around and we'll say who we are. I'm Dave Wilkinson. I'm the National Education Manager for HIMSS. Some of you all may know me from other conferences and from the Polaris introductory podcast that Joe Steinkamp and I did on Blind Bargains back in
March,
thank you. It was before yesterday, so I really didn't know. I'm going to go ahead and start, and I'm going to have Daniel, we have Daniel Lee here, who's our CEO of HIMSS, and Daniel's going to be coming around the room with a Polaris to show you what the form factor looks like of the device. This is my audio caption voice. Daniel Lee has been handed a Polaris and is walking towards the first person. So, is there anyone in here who's never heard of the Polaris, who doesn't know why you're here? We're going to go over a little bit of the technical specifications and stuff. We're going to put it through its paces a little bit, and then we're going to talk about what's on the initial shipping build. We're going to talk about a couple of things that aren't on the initial shipping build that will be really, really soon, and then we're going to take questions, okay? BrailleSense Polaris, first of all, is shipping. It started shipping on Thursday. It is the first Google-certified non-tablet device that is future-proof, meaning that we intend to upgrade the operating system. We're running Android Lollipop. There are later versions of Android, and we intend to upgrade in the future so that you'll be able to run later versions of Android. Interesting is good. Is that interesting good or interesting? What am I looking at? So to give you a few ideas of the things that are on the Polaris, because we're Google certified, we have all of your Google apps, Google Docs, Sheets, Slides, Classroom, all of that type of stuff. Is everyone in here at least moderately familiar with what your Google services are?
To
some extent. Here's the way that I look at it. I think of Google Drive as like a Dropbox, except that it has Google, so it'll probably be around longer than Dropbox because Google is a bigger company. I love Dropbox. I'm just, you know, Google looks like they have more money. So inside on Google Drive, you can then use different types of files, just like on your computer. So you've got files that open up as a spreadsheet. Those are Google Sheets. You have files that open up in sort of in slides or in a slideshow presentation, that's Google Slides. You have word processor files, those are Google Docs. So it's Google's sort of suite of programs for their Chromebooks and their computers. Does that help clarify things a little bit? So we have access to all of your Google apps. We have access to the Google Play Store, which means that if you don't, if there's an app on here that there's not an app on here that does something that you want it to do, you can download it. That's no big deal. So you could go to the Google Play Store and you can find apps that'll do things like let you use your Polaris as a remote control for your television. That didn't get the ooh factor that I was expecting. Let's try that again. If you want, you can download an app for your Polaris that'll let you use it as a remote control for your television. That's much better. Okay, because it has an infrared port. For that matter, you can use it as a remote for like all of your any of your other appliances that would use a remote. So, yes, there we go. Much better, much better. Now we're in business. So you can download virtually anything from the Google Play Store. We'll run through a few of the things that I have on my Polaris in a little bit to show you just some of the things that I've downloaded. We also have our traditional BrailleSense structure. So how many people in here are current BrailleSense users?
Yeah.
All right. So this is going to sound familiar to you. If I go to my program menu, I'm just going to get File Manager.
File Manager, F.
And now I can use my space or my scroll buttons, and I come around, and I come to traditional applications that you would find on the BrailleSense.
Word processor, W. Email, E.
Sound familiar?
Yeah. Media, M. Organizer, O.
Now, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that you're not aware of, though. When we go back up to the word processor, anybody know where the name Polaris came from?
No.
Okay, we have a no. Do we have a yes? Polaris. There's a suite of programs called Polaris. It's the Polaris Office suite of programs that it's on, I don't know, millions of Android phones and tablets worldwide. The people that make the Polaris suite of programs are the same people who own HIMS. So when you go into our word processor, it looks like our old word processor. It feels like our old word processor. The key commands are the same, but you're really using Polaris Word, which is a mainstream app that's being used by millions of people around the world. That makes it insanely easier for us to update the device so that as new features come along in Polaris Word, it's not that hard for us just to put them onto BrailleSense Polaris. So that's where the name came from. As much as I'd love to tell you that it's the North Star or missiles or all of that type of stuff, and I will if it'll make you buy one. I'm malleable that way.
I don't need that to buy one. I need money to buy one.
Well, we'll see what we can do. There's an internal organ sale happening down the street, so we'll see what we can do. It's only the beginning of the conference. It's gonna go downhill from here. We're on our organizer currently with the Polaris. Our address manager and our schedule manager are synchronizable with your Google Calendar.
Web tools.
Now the web tools, our web browser is Google Chrome. So if I wanted to go onto the net, I can press enter.
Web browser.
And I pressed enter.
Starting web browser. http://www.hims-inc.com.
And now it's pulled up our HIMS website. That's pretty good. I mean, we could go to whatever website we wanted, but I just have it as the HIMS is our home site. And since we're using Chrome, you're not going to run into any of the things that you run into with your current note takers with websites not working. So, you know, it's a modern browser under a modern operating system. So you're not going to run into some of the problems that you're running into with your Windows CE system, which we'll discuss before the day is over because we're not abandoning the U2 or the U2 Mini. I promise. Some of the other things that are on here that'll be familiar to you.
Word processor, email, media, organizer, web tools, B, extras, X.
Extras, you can do things. We do have the Sense Dictionary if you want it, although I can also show you a free dictionary that's really cool. Under the media player, we do have your traditional media services. We have your Daisy player. We have two high-quality stereo microphones. What would one high-quality stereo microphone be good for, right? So we have two quality. I knew as soon as I started to say that it was a really stupid statement. Two. We have one stereo. It's the left channel. I'm going to stop doing that. We have stereo microphones on the Polaris so that the media player, you can do really high-quality recordings. I believe we have some audio tutorials that are either up on the web or will be that we recorded on Polaris about Polaris. There are some other really cool things that you can do. We have a voice trigger modes that I can say, "Hey, Polaris." Oh, and he didn't work again. It's the second time he's done that to me today.
Hey, Polaris.
Oh, who cares?
Rail display, V,
let's make sure
item.
I have it turned on.
Voice, V, unlist item, main volume, voice trigger, V, off, on, options saved.
All right, this was working when I came in here down in the crowded exhibit booth.
Hey, Polaris.
I didn't want you to work. What I would do, what I could also do if I wanted to find my Polaris would be say something like, hey, Google, and then I would just ask it the weather and I would follow the voice back, which seems to work much better these days.
Extras, X.
So memo to self, stop doing the hey, Polaris trick. Let's see if this one's doing it. Hey, welcome. Or was that someone leaving? It's always sad. So down at the bottom of your menu, and I guess, let me go through just some of the basic specifications first, and then we'll get into some of the menus and stuff. Is that okay? We have 64 gigs of onboard flash. We have 3 gigabytes of RAM. We are supporting Wi-Fi, BGN, and AC. We're using Bluetooth 4.2, and we have an NFC port. And we have the aforementioned IR port, which will let you use this as a remote control for your television or a helicopter or whatever you want to use it as a remote control for. Some of the other things that are on here, when it was passing around, you may have noticed that there are 2 additional keys, one on each side of the space bar. Those are an alt and a control key. And the reason you have those keys, ooh, there was an ooh back there. Why do we have them?
Awesome.
Any idea why they're there?
Yeah, so you can use it like a real computer.
That's very good. When you go into Google Apps, like Google Docs and Drive and Sheets and Slides, there are keyboard shortcuts that require the Alt and the Control key. So let's see if Hey Polaris will work from back there. Hey Polaris!
That should seem to be working.
Oh, there we go! See? It's just mine. So I can chase it from across the room. That figures.
It's just you.
That's very possible. You're not going to get to sing the hymn song later.
Not with my bronchitis, I'm not.
You mean we can't come here and sing hymns?
You can. We're gonna all sing the hymns song at the end of the day.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna be awesome. It's beyond juvenile. It'll be fantastic. So we have an alt and a control key. We also have our traditional function keys that work as your start menu key, your menu key inside of programs, your tab key, and your escape key. We have on the right hand side, we have a port that's confusing when you first look at it because it's long. It's a USB micro / USB 3 high speed data port, which means that you can put either a USB micro cable into it or you can put a USB 3 cable into it, which is bigger. The USB micro just takes up half the port. You can charge Polaris through the USB micro port. You can charge it through our standard adapter that we've been shipping with devices for years. Or you can take a really cool trip to somewhere like Best Buy, and you could use a GPS program on the Polaris to guide you to Best Buy, or Google Maps on the Polaris to guide you to Best Buy. And you could purchase a wireless charger, and which is like a little mat, and you could use the wireless charging mat to charge your BrailleSense Polaris. So you wouldn't have to remember to plug it in that night. You just toss it on your desk on the charging mat, and it starts charging for you. So that's pretty cool. The charging mat does need to be plugged in. It's simply a way of charging your Polaris without having to physically charge plug your Polaris in.
I don't know, that's a whole good thing.
Although, so if you wanted to use battery packs where you wouldn't have, for other power sources, you can use other battery packs through the USB micro port. We also have external batteries that you can get for Polaris. And the charging mat solves an issue that people have asked us about for years. You could buy a backup battery and people are like, but I have to put it into the BrailleSense to charge it. That's no fun. Well, now you don't. You just put it on your charging mat. So that's pretty cool.
Does the charging mat charge as quickly as plugging it in?
If I remember correctly, they are roughly comparable. Yes. The USB micro is a little bit slower, but the charging mat and plugging it in should be roughly the same.
Where is it getting the charge from?
Man, I don't know how these things work. I'm just amazed they do. it's very much like what you've been able to do with your... There are other products that you can do this with, like Galaxies, where you sit them on the mat and it sends current through the device and it charges the battery. The technical part of how it works, that's what Joe knows. I just know that it works and that I like it. How's that for a brutally honest, I don't know answer?
I like that.
It's magic. It just does it.
It's electric magic.
It's electric magic. That's right.
Yeah. How many cells does it have like
that? The question was for the recording, how many cells, and it's 32 Braille cells.
Oh, I thought so.
So, and you'll notice that above each fifth cell, or on each fifth cursor router, there is a tactile dot. How would it not be tactile, I guess? But there's a dot. I'm going to stop this. It's been a long week with the two stereo microphones. You know, I got up at about 1 o'clock local time, so that might be figuring in. But there's a tactile dot on every fifth cursor router. In between the cursor routers and the Braille display, there is a touch strip that can be used for screen gestures in the instance that you want to be able to use flicks and taps and such things instead of using the keyboard. You also have sensors that are not currently active on the first shipping on the media buttons on the front that will in the future let you assign 4 or 5 tasks per button to your media buttons, which we thought was pretty cool. The other thing that we did with the media buttons on this, nobody was using the media buttons to run their FM radio. They were using an FM radio to run their FM radio. So what we did, we have an app mode.
Media mode. App mode.
And the app mode does things like bring up your list of open apps and let you open an app and close an app and that type of stuff. So we actually have an app mode. I forget what the different buttons do, and then I just hit them until I find the one that I want, because I'm a keyboard guy. But we do have an app mode so that you can use the media buttons to actually run your apps as well. On the back, there is an HDMI port that you can plug in. We call it the Sightlink accessory port, because you can plug it into a monitor for the poor Sightlings. But if you don't want to plug it into the Sightlink accessible port for the Sightlings, you can also use Miracast or TeamViewer and send an image of the Polaris to your Android device or your iPhone or your computer. So you don't have to have it wired up to another device for a visual person to actually see what's going on. When a visual person is looking at the Polaris on a monitor or on their tablet, there is a Braille display at the bottom so that if it's a TVI, they can see the simulated Braille dot so they know exactly what the student is looking at on the Braille display. We also do still have our little LCD display that's up in between our stereo speakers so that if you just need, if you're in a classroom and a student's looking at a word, they don't know what it is, the teacher can look down at the Polaris and they can tell the student what they're looking at. So we do still have our LCD display as well. Questions so far?
I don't see.
I don't either.
I have two questions because I don't, my keys don't seem to be working. But I also don't see a spot for an SD card.
There is an SD card slot on the right-hand side above the USB 3 port towards the back. There's a little cutout on the bottom of the slot, and it's much longer up on top.
Okay, now I see.
Is there a reset button on that thing?
There is a reset command on here. We're using a keyboard command. Now you're using F2, F3, and all 6 buttons on the keyboard.
Just what if your keyboard's not working? Like mine doesn't seem to work.
Yours on your Polaris or on your U2?
On the unit I have here.
The keyboard may be locked. There's a button on the front that you check to see if your keyboard's locked. And if not, bring it up my way and we'll make it work.
What's the NFC spot?
NFC, as I understand it, is sort of an advanced form of Bluetooth. You can use it for, and Joe, you can jump in any time here, but like you have headsets and other devices that use NFC that provide a more stable connection from further away.
Absolutely. You can do tags with it. So let's say it was the charging mat, right? You could actually come in and place an NFC tag there to do a certain macro. So when you bring your Polaris over, you could actually tap it, and then it would say dim the lights or turn on the cameras on your outside of your house or turn on the music to your favorite station. There are things you can do with NFC, so it acts as kind of a little macro that you can do little programs with. Also, it's used for beacons in some cases, or if you don't want people to have your Wi-Fi password, you can actually set it up with NFC so you can tap it. You don't have to give out your password publicly.
Okay.
Camera, that's the one we forgot in our conversation.
Yes, we have a camera on the bottom. It's a 13 megapixel camera. It's on the bottom towards the right hand side towards the back. We've tried a number of different apps with it, you know, KNFB reader, color identifiers, etc. We have plans in the future to also try to make it accessible to USB cameras, which I'm very excited about. To me, if you're going to be doing like a Skype video call, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to aim the back of the note taker at you. I'd just like to have a USB camera.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that this product is really, in terms of shipping, 3 days old. So it's at the extreme beginning of its life cycle. So there's an awful lot that we can do with this, which is what makes it so exciting.
Dave, why is it running Lollipop and not, for example, Android N?
When we were developing, that's a good question. And for those who couldn't hear, the question was, why are we running Lollipop? And the answer is that when we started developing this, it was the best alternative that was there. We have plans for updating the operating system in the future.
But when you say updating it in the future, will you always be two versions behind?
Or we don't expect to be.
So the plan is to have, I understand why you wouldn't have Android O at the moment because it's in beta.
Right.
But the plan is to always have the latest Android, is that correct?
Our plan is to update the operating system so that it stays current.
What does stays current mean, though? Does it mean one prior, or does it mean the latest one that's officially not in beta?
I'm not trying to dodge the question, but a lot of that's going to depend on what's available in the development cycle.
Okay.
So it's going to be more current than Lollipop.
So as close as possible.
It's going to be, our goal is to keep this as current as humanly possible.
And not to defend, but the largest is Lollipop still, and even in some regions, KitKat. So it is still supported in Android land,
right.
And also Marshmallow will be the next one. Remember, the most popular phone in the United States is the Galaxy S5, and that's running Marshmallow.
So the updating with Android is a little bit trickier. That the updates are frankly a bit more often, and sometimes have less, and sometimes have more. It's not like you're once or twice a year massive iOS update.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a I'm not trying to dodge the question, but part of it's going to really depend on what we have to work with at the time.
Of course.
Dave, for those of us who are not power users, I'm retired. I don't need it for work. I spend a lot of time on the internet, spend a lot of time on Google doing research. I've had issues with this. It locks up the damnedest times. What is the advantage to invest in this?
When you say you've had issues with this, are you talking about a previous BrailleSense device?
No, the current one.
The one that...
The U2.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. At this point, that would be, sadly, a previous BrailleSense device. Which is sad, but true. Here's the deal with the position that we're in and the position that a number of folks are in. Windows CE is evolving into obsolescence at some point. We think we can keep U2s going for a good while. We think we have a lot of features that we can offer on the U2 that will make it an attractive product. But the reality is that things like the web browser are not updatable and really can't be sustained. With jumping to Google Chrome and jumping into Android world, you're using vastly more modern operating systems that are sustainable going more into the future. Is that generally answered?
Because I haven't encountered issues, on the internet sometimes and on using Google as extensively as I do. So I get it.
Yeah, it's a matter of what you run into as manufacturers is you want to sustain something as long as humanly possible while at the same time being on the cutting edge. So you're at sort of both ends of the spectrum simultaneously. And that's where we are at the moment. We have a number of features that are on the U2 that are not currently on the Polaris. Things like our exam mode, which will probably be on the Polaris at some point, but we can customize a U2 for what features are and are not there for test-taking situations in classrooms. We have a macro manager on the U2 that's not available on the Polaris. We have dedicated apps for Bookshare and for National Library Service, which we don't have on Polaris because there are apps that you can download from the Play Store. There's some advantages to their apps. There's some advantages to ours. So we view the U2 product line as an active product line. We have a software update that is now woefully late in coming out that will eventually be released sometime this year for the U2 that will have a number of really cool things, including like a weather widget and some other really cool stuff. But there's only so far we can go with the internet browser. And so that's part of what's driving us to look at other platforms.
But it almost sounds like where you don't have some of the features on the Polaris that you have on YouTube, it's almost like when a new car model comes out, you might want to wait 6 months or a year before you get it.
You may or may not make
this investment, I want the same bells and whistles and more bells and whistles.
Let's play, because you get substantially more bells and whistles. You're just missing a couple from the past.
What are we missing from the past?
Well, you're missing the big one that I'm missing from the past is the macro editor. I love the macro editor. I'm one of five people who use it, and I'm going to seriously miss it, and I want it back now.
I've never found a macro editor, just the record macro.
I guess the macro recorder.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I would miss that.
There's six of us. Seven, all right. And it may happen in the future, but it's something that hasn't been carried over yet.
I use it a little, not as much as probably could, but...
Awesome. We're going to have to... We've got to have super secret macro society meetings, because I've been thinking it's the only person out there.
Don't set up a list for...
Oh, not in your wildest dreams.
Me too.
Yeah, there'll be 70, and then there'll be 78 people going, what's a macro? Do I need one? Can I get one at Best Buy?
You can, but it won't work.
Let me give you an example of a difference between the two. Would that help? If I go into my Go Read app, into Bookshare.
Voice on. File manager, F. All apps, Acapella TTS voices.
Now I went down to all apps, and now I'm in a list of apps that I've downloaded onto my Polaris.
Adobe Acrobat. Alexa listens. American Airlines. Adbat.
Now I've gotten lazy, so now I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to hit G.
Get there. Gmail. Go Read.
Go Read. We find this is the problem with apps is you can get too many of them. So now if I press enter on Go Read.
Write it when I'm gone. Remarkable off-the-record conversations with Gerald R. Ford.
Record conversations with Gerald R. Ford.
Now, I have, at this point, I'm using the Bookshare Go Read app. And there are a few things that I can't do with this that I can do with the Bookshare app on the Braille Sense, or that I would have to go out through on the U2. The biggest one being that if I'm using the Bookshare Go Read app, I can't download BRF files. If I want to download a BRF file from Bookshare, I have to use Chrome and go out to the website and download the BRF file, because Go Read only supports DAISY. So I support BRFs, but the app from Bookshare only downloads DAISY files. Does that make sense? So that's just sort of one of the differences, and the same with NLS. NLS Bard for Android doesn't support downloading BRF files. So I have to go out to the NLS Bard webpage through my web browser to download BRF files, which I can do.
If you want to read it in Braille, if you want to read your Bard or Bookshare books in Braille, you have to do it on Chrome.
No, because I can read DAISY books in Braille. It's no problem. I'm going to have the text, and there are actually some advantages of reading DAISY books in Braille over BRFs. Now, for Bard, you're right. If you want a BRF file, because digital talking books have no text associated with them. The advantage of reading DAISY books on a Braille display, anyone know before Dave gives his trick answer?
You have a lot more navigation.
The other advantage is I can put it in whatever Braille code or series of contractions that I want. If I want to use the old eBay Braille code, I can do that. If I want it to show up in UEB, I can do that. If I want it to show up as uncontracted Braille, I can do that. If I want contractions, I can do that. Whereas with a BRF, Braille-ready files are what you see is what you get. So however that book was Brailled is what you see on the Braille display. So I have an infinite amount of more of customization that I can do with DAISY files on a Braille display than I do a BRF file. That was anticlimactic.
I have a question about the word processor.
Okay.
I have a use to Braille Sense U2, and I don't particularly care for the formatting. I find it difficult to format, like for centering and different things.
Okay.
And so I was wondering if you had more capabilities in the word processor for formatting documents.
The question for anyone who can't hear up here was, do we have any more formatting capabilities for documents on the Polaris? The short answer is, at this exact second, no, and there will be. And I know what some of them are. Which is a good time for us to point out that how much have firmware updates always cost with HIMSS?
Nothing.
That's right. Let's hear that again. How much was that?
Nothing.
How much will they cost until the end of time?
Nothing.
There you go. So if you have your Polaris and we update it next week, next month, next year, it's a free update. So that as we have improvements to our formatting capabilities in our word processor, you will instantly be able to take advantage of them on your Polaris. What we have done at the moment is port over the same capabilities that you had on the U2. There is more that's on the way.
Do you have on the Polaris a choice of voices?
I do.
Yeah.
I do have a choice of voices. Let me show you a little bit of what I can do.
F. Set time and date, T.
I'm brailing one-handed here.
Voice name, English Zoe 5/6 list item. English Samantha. Successfully set TTS. Voice options, V. Voice name, English Samantha. English Susan 3/6 list item. English Australia Karen 1. Successfully set TTS. Voice options, V.
I like Karen because she sounds exotic.
Voice name, English Nathan 2/6.
Successfully set TTS. Voice options, V. Global options, O.
So here's, so what I have are a number of vocalizer voices that I can download. Here's what I can and can't do. And this is one limitation that you're going to run into. I can't download any TTS that I want and have it currently work on the non-Android sort of side, the native BrailleSense application side. You will be able to at some point, but at the moment we're limited to vocalizer voices within the traditional BrailleSense programs. Once you get into all apps, then I can use whatever I want, so that when I go into Bookshare, I can use Acapella Heather. You know, if I load up KNFB Reader, I can use, I have different acapella voices or different Google voices that I've downloaded. On the BrailleSense traditional apps at this point, I'm limited to vocalizer voices, and we have links to download different voices that you can use. And there are quite a few of them.
Have you gotten Eloquence at all?
No. You can use Eloquence on Android apps, but you can't at this moment, you can't on the BrailleSense native apps.
Good.
Is that a yuck?
That's a good.
Okay.
Good.
Oh, then what I meant to say is that we may never support Eloquence. No, we will. Oh my! It's a hostile environment today.
I don't mind Eloquence, but I think
we're
We're
much more interested in having more human-sounding voices. That's why I like Karen. She just sounds sexy and from across the ocean.
We've had Eloquence for 20-some-odd years.
Yeah, you know, there's... Goodbye, Reed.
You still have the same web radio options?
What we're doing for web radio is instead of having our database and our web radio, you can download things like TuneIn. Yeah, which let's face it, is much better. Our web radio was okay. This is pretty freaking awesome. So that I've also got MLB at Bat on here, so I can listen to my Cardinals have a really horrible season, which makes me sad. But it's fun to be able to listen to them on the Polaris, so that's good.
Yeah.
TuneIn is not free, though.
You can get a version of TuneIn that's free.
TuneIn is free. Some of the services like MLB is paid.
Right, is additional.
Yeah.
But TuneIn itself is free. You can pay, and you get rid of things like ads.
Yeah, I'm always getting on my iPhone, TuneIn trying to get me to pay for something.
And then you can always Chromecast that out or Bluetooth that out to a bigger speaker if you
yes. And like one of the things I've done a lot of things with Chromecasting. I bought a smart TV, and I'm able to send TuneIn through the speakers on my TV, or I can send it through a plugged a Chromecast into my receivers, so I can Chromecast out to my stereo or to my Google Home. I can also download things like Alexa Listens, and I can use so that I can run all of the Alexa features from Polaris. I can do the same thing with Google Home, so that you've got an infinite number of possibilities available in the Google Play Store.
Dave, at the risk of starting trouble, will Polaris handle YouTube better than BrailleSense?
Yeah, what's going on with YouTube? Has anyone?
I got off the list after 2 weeks because of all that nonsense a couple months ago. But will the Polaris handle YouTube better?
Yes. And here's the reason why. We don't have to use a customized app for it. We just use YouTube. So we don't have to keep our app up to date. YouTube does it for us. Now, the downside, because even though I want you to buy 12 of these, I want you to know all the flaws going into it. The downside is that when you use YouTube, you don't have an immediate app available for making MP3s out of your YouTube your YouTube videos. We're working to find accessible apps that'll do that. But, I mean, I can just go to YouTube and I can look up whatever I want. If YouTube crashes on the Polaris, it's also crashing on people's galaxies, which means that there are going to be a lot more than just a few of us getting mad, which means it'll come back.
It's a Google problem, a YouTube problem.
What's happening with us, again, we're using an operating system that's really getting near the end of the line. And we're running, and so YouTube makes changes, and we have to change our customized app on the BrailleSense U2. And it's one of these things that worked really well when it first came out, and it's starting to get close to the end of the line as far as we can go with it.
One thing I really wish, and I'm probably the only person in the world who would wish this.
It's okay, I thought I was the only one who wanted macros, so let's, we'll see.
Is Polaris going to have the ability to record off either web radio or FM?
It has the ability to record off of FM right now. As for recording off of web radio, I don't know if you would be able to do it internally. You'd be able to use TuneIn's record feature, which will let you record anything that you're listening to in TuneIn, but you'd have to play it back using TuneIn. And there are other radio apps that do the same thing.
Victor can record off web
radio. Right. Well, that's okay.
You can record Mariners games.
Well, you could record wins, which would reduce the amount of time you'd have to record.
Okay. Also, a web resource that's worth it is inclusive Android. So if you want to know which types of apps work really well in Android, it is not exactly the equivalent, but for the sake of this discussion, very much like Apple Viz. So there could be a recording app out there that somebody's already found, and they've already posted a review up at Inclusive Android.
The other thing that we have that is either up on our website or will be, and with a product that's only been shipping for 3 days, or some things have made it and some things haven't, we have a list of apps that have, that will not be as inclusive as Inclusive Android, but apps that we've specifically worked with on Polaris, and we have a couple hundred apps sort of as a starter kit to get you started with playing with the Google Play Store.
What about printing?
Printing is going to work like any Android device. If your printer can print from other Android devices, it's going to be able to print from Polaris. A lot of your printing that's done from Android devices is done through apps. There are a lot of, like HP, I think it is, has printing apps. A lot of your printers have apps that will essentially send. It's way easier to print if you have a wireless printer than it is if you're trying to cable it. You can, it is possible through different apps to plug printers in, but it's frankly way easier if you're just using the cloud to print.
And you want to go for a newer printer and it'll say whether it's Android compatible or not. Older printers, you're going to have to do research by looking up the model of your printer and then going to the various websites.
It is the exact opposite of the situation with the U2, where you really want to keep that old printer around that works off of it. Now we want you, again, we're jumping to the other end of the spectrum. Now you want the newest printer humanly possible. Now with embossers, which is going to be the next question. I could feel it. Who was going to ask me about embossers?
What about embossers?
We will work with any of your embossers that are working wirelessly. Things like your index embossers are, you're basically uploading a file from your Polaris to the embosser. You're going onto their IP address and you're just uploading the file. Any embosser that works that way, we're going to work. It's a little bit dicier with USB and Bluetooth embossers. What we're recommending for people if they're wanting to use USB is to set your USB port on Polaris to parallel and have Polaris think that you're actually printing to a parallel embosser, and it works very well. So you can emboss.
Dave, this is Christy. You were telling me about being able to translate my files off of my Apex.
Yes. What we did, what you can do with this, and I've done this for a number of folks. We have people who have other product. The earlier BrailleSense models, chances are very good your files have been saved as text or doc files. Our default file format, by the way, on the Polaris is docx.
If you, Polaris can actually handle docx.
Yes.
I'm always getting this thing on my BrailleSense U2. I brought it over from the computer. I tried to save it. I can't save like this. I'm like,
right, you have to save it as a .doc. It'll open a docx, but you have to save it as .doc. The Polaris, you're not going to run into that. On other products, they have proprietary word processors on some of their older products. And so Christine?
Christy,
I'm sorry. Christy was asking me how you would do something like save batches of files from an Apex to convert them from keyword files to usable files on the Polaris or pretty much anything other than a note. And the answer is you go to the main menu, you go to translate, export file, and then you choose the file or files that you want to export, and you can mark all of them in a folder so that you can do a whole batch of files. And then you can choose the file format so that you can change all your files over to a usable format in a matter of a few minutes.
Can you do a VRF?
I'm sorry?
Can you do a VRF?
Yes. Yes, you can do VRFs. Now, what was the snarky comment I missed in the back of the room?
Well, actually, I just said I wish I'd known that last week because I had to translate some files. But I do have another question.
Okay. Now, see, I was looking forward to some more good snark.
I'm about to show my total ignorance and stupidity.
Awesome. This is what I call job security.
Because I am probably the one person in this room who does not have a smartphone.
Okay.
You don't want a smartphone.
They're 12, Burl. It's okay.
But I hear you talking about apps and what was it? Polywob, whatever the hell it was.
Ollywob is my new favorite word.
Lollipop.
I like Ollywob.
And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I got to do apps, Lollipop, or whatever. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going to have an awfully big learning curve if I get a Polaris. Is that so?
That is a very difficult question. And what product are you using now?
I have a YouTube.
Okay.
I love my YouTube.
Okay. Then here's the good news. 99.83724% of what you know on the U2 is transferable to the Polaris. So the answer to your question, and this is a really tough, it's a tough question to answer, so bear with me as I stumble through it. The Polaris has as much of a learning curve as you want there to be. And part of what dictates the learning curve is what you want to do with it. If you want to do a lot of the features that you were doing on your U2, browse the internet, word processing, email, etc. That's going to be media. Thank you. That's going to be extraordinarily similar. If you want to jump into things like MLB at bat or TuneIn or any of a number of, you know, a few hundred thousand apps that are available in the Google Play Store. I don't know how many apps there are. That's a guess. Then you can do that. But you can take on as much as you want to bite off at any given point. But if you know how to use a U2, you know how to use all of the native BrailleSense programs on the Polaris.
Okay.
Does that help?
That helps a lot, yes.
Okay. And it was deliberately done. We asked our engineers to create sort of an Android version of the BrailleSense, and they did an incredible job to almost astounding detail. So that virtually every setting that you are aware of on your U2, you're going to be able to have on your Polaris as well. And all of your application, you know, the spell check is still there, the automatically check words, the vibration motor, all of that stuff is still there. So does that make you feel a bit better?
A lot better.
Good.
Yeah. I hate to admit that.
It's like a swimming pool. The shallow end is the stuff that we've been doing on our U2s. There's the deep end out there, the diving boards are where the all apps menu is. And if you want to jump off that diving board, go right ahead.
Or
if you want to stay in the shallow end, there's no problem with that too.
That is correct. And what's cool about this is I think what you're going to find is that you're going to have people who recommend really easy to use apps that maybe will be, you know, much more palatable in the beginning than jumping into something that's insanely complicated.
So different from all the others.
Voice on.
There we go. I'll switch back to Zoe. I do like Zoe.
I'm wondering who that was.
She's Zoe. She's not as exotic as Karen, but she's very definitive. Other questions?
Besides not having the macro capability currently, what else would you say that a current U2 user might find missing initially?
I do not have a dedicated app for downloading books from Bookshare or NLS. I have to use either my web browser or I need to go to step a little bit off of that shallow end, to use the analogy from over here, and download apps, you know, GoRead or the NLS Bard app.
Sure.
Other than that, from an everyday user standpoint, not a whole lot. In classrooms at this point, I don't have some things like our exam mode available on the Polaris yet. As we're standing here right now, I have relatively limited math capabilities. That will be long since not the case by the beginning of the school year. We've got some pretty spectacular things we're doing with math that we're going to roll out when they're closer to done. I'm trying to think if the macro editor is a biggie for me.
What about somebody that has a database set up in the U2 right now? Is there a way to transfer that over either with the native app that you have, or is, do you know if the answer is no?
Yes,
you know, you can do it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it works.
Have you made any changes in the organizer, by the way, in the Polaris?
For the initial run, no, because our goal was to get it as exact as possible. In the future, you may see some significant changes. They will be additions. They won't be necessarily changes. They'll be additions. So I don't want you to think that your keystrokes that you've learned today you wouldn't be able to use tomorrow, because you will be able to. The biggest change in our organizer between the U2 and the Polaris is that now it's synchronizable with your Google Calendar.
Oh, good.
Yes. Yeah. That's a little change. Other than that, there's been nothing.
But you have Gmail as an email client. You have a
yes.
YouTube.
Yeah, no, I was being a little bit sarcastic.
It's having the Google Play services is really cool. For instance, I'm a Google Play Music subscriber, so what that gives me is YouTube Red, which allows me to have YouTube with
no ads. Oh my gosh, YouTube Red is amazing.
YouTube with no ads, which is fantastic.
It is. Well, and what's cool, here's what's really cool about things like YouTube Red, because let's YouTube Red.
Bread with your Google Gnome.
Two stereo microphones. A lot of us live in households where there are sightlings. And sightlings like their pictures, right? I don't know what the big deal is, but they like them. If I cast a YouTube video to my smart TV or to anything through Chromecast, the sightlings get their pictures, I get the sound. So it's really cool. I can find whatever I want on my videos, and my kiddo can look at the actual pictures of it, and he doesn't feel like he's been left out. Poor kid.
I think I walked in while you were talking about this, but while I was disturbing people, unfortunately, I'm sorry it was, because I was looking at the menu. I think I never did see the help menu.
Where? Oh, the help menu. Good question.
File manager, F.
And if I go down to the bottom here.
All apps, Play Store, P, help, H.
So I do have the help menu, which has the full user guide, or I can also hit H in the space bar for context sensitive help. And that has changed a little bit. We actually list commands now instead of dividing them out. In a lot of cases, like you would find in the menus, we have a list of commands that are the more conveniently used help commands.
Now, wait a minute. How'd you get there? Because the last thing I saw was all that.
Go up to, and you'll get to help.
Oh, okay.
Dave, 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Which, by the way, I could use our stopwatch or countdown timer to keep track of.
By the way, I hope you didn't take the cuckoo off the wake-up. That's
still got it.
Oh, fantastic. So that wakes me up.
Wouldn't dream of getting rid of it.
No. It's wonderful. It drives Donna crazy, but I love it.
Awesome. Yeah. All the more reason to keep it.
That's right.
I miss the days of a room full of roosters going like
this. A sick puppy.
That's a different room. Now, did you guys get to see the Polaris in the case? Because I do want you to have a chance to see it in the case. You just saw it outside of the case, didn't you? Okay, I do want you to see this case, because I think it's a really cool case, and it's going to let us do something that I'm pretty excited about for the future. Can I tell them about the different colors?
Let's see.
We're going to have different colors of cases in the future.
Seriously?
Of cases.
Dave wishes to accessorize, so a different color at each convention.
Absolutely. But you think about this. If you're in like if you're a grumpy teenager and you want to stick out or not stick out, you want a different case. So we're going to have different colored cases. But we're really pretty excited about this case. It adds a little bit of weight to it, but it's an astounding amount of protection.
Dave, how about convention specials?
Yes.
Convention specials. We have a number of convention specials on other products, most of which I'm forgetting. We're at booth number 27. We do have our introductory price of $52.95 still in place for the Polaris. We do have trade-in offers. Come by the booth. We'll wheel and deal. This is Nevada, right?
And Dave, trade-ins?
We do have trade-ins. We have trade-ins on virtually on your on a number of other devices, whether they be Braille displays or note takers or combinations of the two. I'm trying to be very diplomatic here.
So,
we have trade-in on Apexes and Touches. Come on down. We'll work with you.
Did I say Bookshare or Bard?
We have we're using the Android apps for Bookshare and Bard.
Oh, I gotcha.
Right.
So would we actually be able to download? I'm still on YouTube. Would we actually be able to download videos or just listen to them?
Without downloading another app, you would just be listening to them.
YouTube is actually broken into two pieces now. So there's YouTube audio. So it's just YouTube music. And that would be nothing but that. But the YouTube is video and audio.
Right. What they're wanting to do, though, Joe, that you could do on the BrailleSense U2 is download an MP3 of a YouTube.
Yeah.
Of a YouTube video.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're actually in M4A.
Is it M4A? Used to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has been all along.
I only work here. I don't know.
The point is, I keep trying to download videos, and it just keeps sitting on 0% kind of way it was behaving a couple of months ago, and I'm thinking, okay, is this app broken again?
Bring it by. Let's make sure you're running the most current software or most current firmware.
Okay.
It is going to be more of an issue to keep some of these apps going as we go along, which is why we're having pretty aggressive trade-in programs on some of the other BrailleSense models.
Okay.
One of the things that I want to work in before we come to an end, I do have my business cards with me. If anyone has any questions about any of this stuff, I don't know how many cards I have here, but Daniel can pass these out. They have my email address and cell phone number. My email address, if anyone wants any information or any clarification on any of this, is Dave, D-A-V-E, at hims-inc.com. And my cell phone number... My cell phone stays downstairs when I'm asleep, so don't even think about it, is 918-527-0688. As anyone who knows me very well will attest to, I am a note-taker fiend. I will talk about note-takers until the end of time. So if you have questions about this stuff, let me know. We still have a couple more minutes, so I can still take a couple more questions.
Can I give your cell phone number again?
My cell phone number is 918-527-0688.
For the YouTube, are they going to update for Bookshare?
Yes. And that will be in the extraordinarily near future. We will have you'll be able to use your YouTube, your Bookshare app.
And another thing I've noticed is that...
Actually, and I'll do you one better. If you come by the booth, I may be able to get your YouTube up and going with Bookshare.
Okay. The other thing I have noticed is that when I go on to the cool browser, I have... The HIMS homepage.
Right.
It won't load it.
Doesn't load HIMS?
It.
Bring your YouTube by the booth because something's going on. It's going to at least load my page. I'm like darn sure of that. All right, bring your YouTube by the booth and we'll work on it.
What's the booth number?
It's booth number 27, and you can remember it because we all know that all the famous. Guitar players and rock singers and pop singers died at 27. So we're bringing life back to 27. All right, in the last minute that we have left, we all have to sing the hymn song, and it's a really terrible hymn song. It's to the tune of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and it goes like this. It's a hymnstastic day in the neighborhood, a hymnstastic day to be neighbors. Would you be blind? Would you be my neighbor? Do you all want to sing it with me? A one, a two, a three. It's a hymnstastic day in the neighborhood. A hymnstastic day to be neighbors. Would you be blind? Would you be my neighbor? I know it's the beginning of the week. It only gets worse from here. See, that's what I like to hear. Excitement about the case. There you go.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys online at atguys.com. This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.